set when you are. Doing okay.
How good has it been to see Ruben and Phil out there together?
It's good. You know, it's good to have them all back and healthy. It gives us some flexibility and certainly gives us more depth. That's the thing. So it's really good to have him back. Good. He's moving significantly better, obviously, than he was before. And doesn't look like he's favoring anything.
When I looked at the Romo stats, he had 13 interceptions, but 9 of those were in 2 games. Has he changed anything up in his last couple games when he did not throw any picks?
I don't think so. I think sometimes it just happens. You know, things happen in the course of football games. He's very talented. They're a very, very talented football team. Probably like most of the really good quarterbacks, he will take chances, you know. He's got great faith in his receivers to go get the ball. So he'll give you some opportunities, but he's also given his guys some opportunities to make big plays.
Can you just talk about gunslinger, sort of, you know, just his skill set?
He's very mobile. He keeps plays alive longer than you want him to stay alive on defense. You know, he's got a really good movement and escape. He can escape and keep things alive. He's capable of running. He's a good athlete, so he's capable of running and hurting you, and you do see him do it, but he doesn't move to run. He wants to go downfield, and he keeps his eyes downfield. So he makes a lot of big plays on the move, out of the pocket. You know, in those situations, probably regardless of when it was, you know, in the history of football, people say, well, you got to keep him in the pocket. It's hard to keep people in the pocket. You know, you got to play. You got to play fast and hard and have a good day. He does make a lot of plays, a lot of plays.
Statistically, you can improve your defense is playing either better or substantially better lately. Do you feel as though that's been the case, and what has your defense been doing better, if it is the case?
We knock on wood, the big plays really hurt us. And hopefully we won't give up a lot of big plays. That's a big part of defensive football all the time. So I would say that's about it, you know, because we're not any healthier. We're a little healthier up front.
Giving up the big plays lately?
Pardon me?
Focusing on that, is that the reason? The guys have been more attentive to the details that go into
I wouldn't say that necessarily, you know. When you say that's kind of making the assumption that they weren't focused on details when they gave up big plays. That's not necessarily true, you know. Those other guys are always good, no matter who you're playing, and we just got hit with some big ones earlier in the year. And like I said, hopefully we'll stay away from it.
We talked about Romo's mobility and his ability to make plays longer than a defense would like him to make.
Right.
Has that factor become more important for quarterbacks now in the league than it was 20 years ago, with guys being so much faster on defense?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. You can think of great quarterbacks that don't play that style.
Right.
You know, they don't. I mean, Peyton's got great feel in the pocket, but he's, you know, you don't see him come out of there a lot, move sideline to sideline and throw the ball. He's capable of movement, but not like Tony Romo. He doesn't move around like that. Probably Tom Brady doesn't move around like that. They both got great pocket presence, you know, so they can avoid you in the pocket, slide around, slip. But they don't usually come out, move from sideline to sideline. You just don't see it. So, I don't know. I would say great.
Best all time, though.
Yeah.
They're exceptions, aren't they, nowadays?
I don't know, the guy that moves all over, probably an exception too, you know, and makes plays. So I don't know, you know, something defines all the great ones. And it's not always the same thing. But I don't know if it's more or less than it used to be. They certainly throw the ball a whole lot more now than the league used to.
The defense be called the same, or can you be more aggressive?
No, we'll stay about the same. you know, about the same. We'll see. Neither one of them played much football, you know, in a good deal of time. So we'll have to just get a feel for them and how they're feeling, what they can and can't do. We anticipate that they'll be fine. You know, Phil's going into, I think, his third week or fourth week back now, counting the bye week. But Rube's, you know, just getting back into it.
Witten at tight end, how does that stress your defense and how you choose to try to stop those guys?
Yeah, really, it really stresses any defense. I mean, between them, I think Witten's got 66 and the other two are in the mid-40s in terms of catches, and they're all outstanding. I mean, they're all really talented people, so you know, you have to make decisions on if you're going to double somebody, who's it going to be? Because, you know, they're just really good. They're very, very talented football team.
The mobility thing, not to belabor it, but is the message to your guys on defense very similar to when you play Roethlisberger in this particular situation?
I don't think they're similar in that they keep the play alive a long time. Tony Romo was fairly good size. I mean, he's a big man by normal standards, but he's not a giant man. Like, Ben's a giant man. In the pocket, you can hit Ben and not get him down. I mean, Tony's very athletic and he can avoid you. He doesn't have the same size and strength, but he does move around and escape probably as good as anybody you see in football. Really, he can escape. But Ben's just a big, hard man to tackle anywhere.
Did you see is there any similarities as far as the nimbleness and his escapability? Well, like we saw with Andrew Luck, he seemed to move around a lot. Wouldn't just stand in the pocket, got out.
I would say that Tony Romo is more inclined to get out of the pocket, you know, and has had a lot more experience clearly. So he's got as good a feel as anybody in the pocket of what's going on around him. And can't avoid and will avoid, you know, will get out of there and throw it and look to throw it. And I think that's what makes him so dangerous out of the pocket.
What are some of the things that make
prevent Alec Witten from using his size to, because I mean, I wouldn't think that his mobility at this point of his career would be as big a problem as just, you know, allowing his size to hurt you on catches. So how do you prevent that from happening?
Oh, it's really difficult. I mean, I haven't really watched anybody prevent it yet. They use him well. They use him wisely. You know, he's hard to stop inside. Their throws aren't The throws aren't long throws inside. But he does move down the field, too. He'll run through the seams. He'll run outside patterns, deeper ones. You know, he'll run a lot of option patterns. He'll run a lot of shallow crossing patterns. And he doesn't have to be hugely open in those areas. He just blocks people out with his body, or in the throw is accurate. You know, the quarterback is very accurate with him. So very difficult to stop. It's always been difficult to stop the great tight ends inside, just because they are generally more athletic than your linebackers, and in his case, bigger, you know. So bigger and maybe more athletic than most, and then on a safety, just a lot bigger, you know, a lot bigger. So it's hard to get through the body, and they're smart. They do a real nice job using those abilities.
What about Dez Bryant? What makes Dez so great and so special?
Big and strong, you know, fast. He's tough. He'll catch the ball inside. All, you know, they have really a good group. You know, a very, very good group. But he's a threat down the field with his size and his speed, and then they'll also use him on quick throws coming inside.
Based on what you observed last year from
Ruben and Taylor as a tandem and what you were projecting before their issues this year, and relative to the better tackle tandems that you've seen over the years, could they enter into that discussion of the better tackle tandems you've either been around or witnessed?
Well, I think in time, you know, time will definitely tell. They just haven't played together very long, and of course, not hardly at all this year, maybe not at all. But time will tell. think there's certainly the possibility. They're both very good. I think they both really care about it. I think they'll both really work hard at it, and they're young. So it's all in front of them.
He's not
going to
line up.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, he's another very talented guy, but they have a number of running backs that can get it done. He was having an outstanding year, obviously, before he suffered the injury. I don't see them changing a lot of their scheme, though, for their guys. They're very capable. I think they'll run by game. I think if they're successful on the ground, I think they'll keep running it at you. I think they'll mix it up enough. They do a nice job calling a game just to keep you enough on edge. Clearly, they like to throw it, but they've run it. Certainly, they've run it successfully. And as you said, since his injury, not as successfully, but still, they've run it well. And they make you play the run. You got to honor the run.
What can the combination of Reuben and Taylor inside do for the outside pass rush, specifically Sheard? You think it could end up freeing up with less blocking attention?
I don't think it'll affect that much. Jabal's really, really having a solid year. Just doesn't have the numbers that everybody's looking for, in terms of sacks. But he really plays hard every game, and he gets pressures in every game. I don't think that blocking schemes will change significantly, until Reuben, Phil, or whoever inside, has maybe more experience and shows more. So, I guess, honestly, I don't think it will affect Jabal a whole lot more.
Dick, now that you have the full complement
on that defensive line and can play 8 or 9, are you ideally looking to balance out the amount of snaps? And also, can you get, because of his skills, can you get now Billy Winn on the outside a little bit and have him play some defensive end on the edge?
Well, with the, with the Phil and Rube healthy again, it does give us a nice rotation, and we can mix, mix and match as we go on into it, and even in a game, see how things are going and move people around. So it does give us, obviously, more flexibility up front.
Getting back to Litton, he had 18 catches against
the
Giants. Right. Not a long time. Have you ever even at a practice see a guy catch 18 passes?
Well, unfortunately, I think Terrell Owens, I don't know what he had, but yeah, it's hard. It's particularly hard to stop those short throws, particularly hard. If you have a tremendous tight end, I played with Charlie Sanders. He was a tremendous tight end, hard to stop. Played with a guy named Danny Ross in Cincinnati. He was, if you have a quarterback that's accurate, very, very hard to stop those inside throws. And if the Giants game, guys can be all over him, and he snatches that ball. So, it can happen. It can happen. And he's clearly one of the best that's ever played it. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. They use him well. And the quarterback counts on him and relies on him.
The game was an inordinate amount of head injuries to quarterbacks last week. With the league emphasizing helmet-to-helmet contact and all that, you've been in the league for a long time. Where do you think this is headed?
I'm not certain that it's headed anywhere different. The league is really stressed, and it's a good thing, and we stress it to our players that you should never intentionally hit another player in the head or the neck, And that's all we can do. I think that there's no controlling on the defensive side of the ball what the offensive player does, with his body as he's running. He's clearly not going to stay in the same position, and he's going to move. So once we're committed to tackle him, as long as our intentions are not to hit him in the head or the neck, then we got to live with what happens defensively. And I don't know how the league can take any different positions than what they have. They've made it illegal to intentionally hit a defenseless player or any player in the head or the neck, you know. And the quarterback in the pocket has all kinds of protection, you know. So, but they move, you know, they move. And they move in ways we can't predict defensively, and we certainly can't slow down defensively, you know. So I don't know what else can be done.
Targets?
No, I don't, you know, no, I don't think that was probably good, you know. I mean, in the rules have certainly made it easier to play offense and harder to play defense, but they do protect players. I mean, you can't hit receivers outside of 5 yards for, what, the last 15 years or so. Before that, they were alive as long as the ball wasn't in the air, you know, so it made it a little easier to play defense. But it's a good rule. I think it's probably a good rule, and for the safety of the players. And that's obviously critically important. Reason why the game's, one of the reasons, many reasons why the game's so popular is because it's so hard to play and it's so physical, you know. So you can't take that out of the game, but they're trying to legislate against the malicious acts, and they shouldn't be in the game, really. So there you go. I don't know what else they can do.
2 years ago, have you been to the new Cowboys Stadium?
Yes. Yeah.
What were your not a lot of the players have played in there. What were your impressions of the place? And
big, you know, big and covered. I don't know, big TV up there. I guess those were my impressions. You know, at the time, I think the punter had hit it. Some punter had hit it. Is that right? The screen. So I guess that was. You know, that was interesting out there looking at that thing. But other than that, it's just, you know, it's a big new stadium, and try to win a game there. Hard, you know, hard. But that was it, I guess.
Do you give a lot of helmets? Do you remember how many helmet hits that you delivered when you were playing?
No. No. You know, maybe that says something right there. I don't remember.
Stadium, billion-dollar stadium. Just out of curiosity, what do you remember about old Municipal Stadium?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah. The box moved. You're up in that coach's box. And, you know, when good things happen for the Browns, which they happened a lot, you know, and the fans would start stomping their feet, and that box would sway up and down. It would just move slightly, you know. The locker rooms, I always like the locker room, only because, you know, you'd go in there as a player and you'd think all the great players in the history of, or at least in my knowledge of the history of the game, had been in the same locker room. You know, they all hung their clothes on these nails on the wall, and it was kind of a neat thing, really. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't real fancy or nice, but I guess that's what I remember. And the Astro Dirt, we used to call it Astro Dirt, paint it green.
Took over for Rob Ryan. You guys are so completely, vastly different. Rob, so flamboyant, and you know, you're more, you know, soft spoken. Did the guys ever? Was that culture shock for your defensive players to go from Rob Ryan to you?
You know, I don't know. I've never talked to anybody about it, and I don't. I know of the Ryan family. And I've met them all, you know, shook hands with all of them, but I don't know any of them personally. I have a great deal of respect for the whole family, you know, the football family. But other than that, I don't really know them. I think they do a great job, but I don't know. Thank you.